The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The risen Lord is with us. His blood forgives us. His power sustains us. This day we give thanks to God who gives us patience for living this day and prepares us for that day when time is no more. Please be seated. Today the Lord's message is about patience. Patience. In the fifth chapter of the New Testament epistle of James, there is a sentence which holds up a farmer as being the shining example of patience. James writes these words, "See how some farmers wait for the precious fruit of the earth." Now, some of them can get wacky as they wait. If you farmers out there doubt the truth of what I am saying, all I suggest is that you turn to your wife and ask her, "You have never seen me get a little bit weird while I'm waiting for planting or harvest time or getting rain, have you?" Then after you've asked, and after she has got done laughing, be quiet and listen to her answer. I have met people with lots of patience. There was a mother and a father whose daughter was severely developmentally disabled. I watched them work with their daughter day after day, year after year. They had no guarantee that their efforts would produce fruit. Even so, they continued patiently and lovingly. And when they did get to see a positive response, even if that response was so small that it went unnoticed by everyone else, they rejoiced. They rejoiced like having Christmas and a birthday and an anniversary and the 4th of July all wrapped up into one big day. I have seen the patience of a husband directed to his wife. She had a stroke at the age of 38. She was unable to take care of herself. She was semi-comatose, unable to do anything. Still, he visited her in the nursing home every single day. On the way home from work, he visited her. He told her about the exciting proceedings in the lives of their growing children. He brought her flowers on their anniversary and on her birthday. He knew when he brought her candy that she could not eat candy, but that really was for her caregivers. He knew she could not see the flowers, but he was patient. He did not know how much she could understand. So he patiently lived his life as though she could understand everything. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." And in 1 Corinthians, the Lord defines love, and that definition begins, "Love is patient. Love is kind." The Apostle John wrote about suffering and persecution, and he calls for patience and endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commands and who remain faithful to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then there is that quote that I read earlier from James, the one about us waiting for Jesus like a farmer waits for his crop. Let me tell you a little bit about what was happening, what caused God to inspire James to share that message with his people. The years following the death and resurrection of Jesus were not easy for Christians. They were mistreated, they were taken advantage of, they were even murdered by those who were politically powerful. Now, it doesn't take many days of that kind of treatment before even God's people start asking questions. What questions? You know the questions I mean. The questions that parents have always asked when they stand helplessly at the bedside of their sick child. The questions that faithful spouses ask when they found that they have been betrayed. The questions that a man or a woman ask when they are due to no fault of their own being let go from work. The questions a farmer asks as hail comes down on the field, which was to have been harvested next week. The questions that all of us ask when we feel unloved, unwanted, unappreciated, and neglected. All of us, believers and unbelievers, ask questions when difficulty arises. True, unbelievers for many years buy into the belief, and really it is a lie, that voice that whispers, "You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul." They have found contentment in the concept that says, if you control your finances, your health, your retirement, your relationships, if you control every aspect of your life, you can find gratification and satisfaction. But the great difficulty is, nobody can control all those variables. The day comes for them, the unbeliever, as it comes for everyone, when sickness and suffering and sadness and death start swirling all around. They find control has slipped from their grasp. And that is when unbelievers find themselves asking, "Does God have it in for me?" The question really surprises them. Why should they think that the person whose very existence that they have denied for so long has it in for them? I will tell you why. The Lord has put that knowledge of His existence into every human heart. It is there in each and every human being. It has always been there. It has been waiting for the moment when you are the weakest and your need is the greatest. It is then, at that moment, when you can do nothing, that is when God wishes to do everything for you. And what is the everything that God wishes to do? Christians know. They know that they hurt. They have the same problems and pains. The same sorrows and sadness which come to unbelievers also comes to Christians. Being a Christian does not mean that you will never have suffering. It does not mean that you will have no crosses to carry. It does not mean that all your sicknesses will be miraculously healed, that all of the injustices you experience will be made right now. Being a Christian does not mean that everything around you will always be sweetness and roses. Sin, Satan, and death throw their tragedies at believers and unbelievers alike. We all suffer sorrow, and we are plagued by pain. Ours may be a physical pain, which comes from being caught in an unreasonable work environment, or a relationship where a spouse is no longer honorable, or a friendship where a dear one has turned against us, or a family member who is bad-mouthing us to anyone who will listen. Maybe we have a financial pain where the bills are staggering and the paycheck is suffering. Maybe there is something we did, or maybe there is something we did not do which results heavily on our hearts and runs through our minds again and again. Such pains grind away at the soul, and such pains lead to questions. Since believers and unbelievers have pain and problems, it's not surprising to find that both the believer and the unbeliever ask, "Does God have it in for me? Does God care?" Is he really there? Christians, being human, ask the same questions. When James wrote to his fellow Christians in the first century, this is what they were doing. They were asking, if God loves me, why doesn't he save me from this suffering? They were looking for an answer to the question, if Jesus is victorious, how come we are down here getting clobbered? Yes, we are alike, unbelievers and believers, and asking questions. But we are different in this. After a believer has asked that question, he waits, and he waits for the Lord's answer. Through the words of Scripture, he has been given God's response to pain and hurt. This does not mean the Christian always is going to like the answer that God gives. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prepared for his final hours. He asked if it would be his Father's will that his cup of suffering be taken away. But it was not. Jesus ended up drinking from that cup of pain and death. But that does not mean that his prayer was not answered. It was. And through his suffering, through his stripes, through his death, all who believe on him as Savior are offered forgiveness of their sins and the knowledge that death is not their end. Christians don't always appreciate or understand God's answer to their pain. Saint Paul prayed 3 times to have the thorn in his flesh taken away. It was not. But does that mean Paul's prayer was not heard? It was heard. Paul was told by God that his weakness would give God an opportunity to show his power in a way that would not have been possible if Paul thought he could do all things on his own. Believers know that God hears their prayers and answers them. True, his prayer may not be the one we want or according to our timetable, but always God answers us in the best way possible. And that is the difference between an unbeliever and a Christian. The unbeliever may imagine his problems have come from the hand of a cruel God or from some faceless, unthinking happening. But the Christian, by faith, knows that God's grace is alive and is active in his life, in his own pain and in his own problems. Do you doubt me? Open the Bible to almost any page and you will find God's grace. He is unfailing, unchanging, undefeated, and undeserved kindness. On the dark day when all of our problems, all of our pains, all of our trials and troubles gain entrance into this world, after Satan had successfully tempted our ancestors, Adam and Eve, to depart from God's will and live according to their own wisdom, God's grace was there. Humanity had made a disastrous decision as pain took the place of perfection. Hurt took the place of happiness. Damnation replaced salvation. And death slammed shut the gates of heaven. Yes, it was a disastrous decision, but it was countered by God's promise to send his Son, who would bring light to darkness and forgiveness of sins to sin-stained souls. If you read the Bible, you will read the story of salvation unearned. You will see Jesus, God's Son, our Savior. You will see him who became one of us so that he could take our place. We, you and I, break God's laws, but Jesus kept every one of them. We fall victim to Satan and the sins that Satan suggests. But Jesus lived a life of not listening to any of Satan's suggestions. We deserve death, but Jesus took our place. Beaten, betrayed, and bloodied, he was nailed to the cross by the very people he had come into this world to redeem. Remember, we didn't deserve his sacrifice. The entire plan to buy us back from sin, death, and Satan found its beginning, fulfillment, and completion in the very heart of God. The angels who announced the Savior's birth at Christmas had said it was they had good news of great joy. And so it is true. He, Jesus Christ, is the Savior. He gives us forgiveness of the past and freedom for the future. He is the Savior who will always be with us in our pains and in our sorrows and even at the time of our death. What is the great difference between a Christian and an unbeliever? It is this. Christians know that because of Jesus Christ, it will come out all right. He says, believe on me. It's going to be all right in the end. Christians know that a living Lord will make it all right. Jesus has defeated death and has given us his promise. In health and in sickness, in poverty and in plenty, Jesus will always be there. He will not turn his back on us. And finally, Jesus' words are there to comfort us when he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You see, even our faith in Jesus Christ is a gift from God, the Holy Spirit. Our salvation has nothing to do with us. It's not because we're so good. It's not because of our last name. It's not because of what we do. It is everything because of God's grace, his undeserved love for you, for me, for everyone in the entire world. And that is why it is so important that we spread this word of God to everyone, because everyone's got to hear this good news that Jesus Christ has come into the world and that through faith in him, they also may have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.